talking. We're going talking today where things are popping. The Marian way, we're going to drop in on discussions of the day on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, we're going debating. We're going to debate very loud and we'll be laughing and floating high on a cloud. Phones are ringing from listeners all around on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, and we'll guess and goof and talk on Exchange. Read, debate, and think it's Exchange. Tune in, we're on. Turn on, I'm in. It's on today, the Exchange Club.
Hey, and away we go. It's a Getaway Friday here. Friday, January the 2nd, 2026, by the way. 2026, first Friday in 2026. Joined in studio by Bob Welsh and Matt Morgan. There's some controversy because Bob's been doing some redecorating of the studio, putting some new pictures up here, which are very nice. All the Upper Crust Society Awards are now in the studio. But you are saying, now there's also a groundhog collage.
Collage, yes.
Because this will be the, what?
The fourth year coming up.
Yeah, fourth year of doing the groundhog. Now you're saying that I let you know in 2024. Right. Okay. Who the groundhog was.
In advance.
See, I don't think that's right, though.
You swore me to secrecy, and it was a big deal. And I did not tell anybody either.
I kept it a secret.
But you let me know in advance, so that I prepared a plaque for Miss Ohio.
Right, but that year, she was not, nobody really knew if she was going to be the groundhog till that morning. Now, Matt can vouch for that, because I'm not going to get into that controversy, but until the morning of, I wasn't sure that she was going to be the groundhog. So I'm not sure how this would have even taken place.
Well, I never saw her again after the groundhog, No,
I'm saying she might not have been the one getting in the costume that day. There was a whole episode going on that morning.
Well,
you remember this, Matt?
No.
You don't. No, I didn't expect you
not,
to.
Not
no, you were only one, costume. You were only involved in the...
That was too early in the morning.
Wait, are we talking about which year?
2024.
Last year. Last year was fine.
You tested out the costume there, and Mary Ellen was the ultimate groundhog. But the year before, I don't think Matt was even there.
He was.
Yeah, I was there.
He was there. Yep. Right. No, that morning, it was between two people of who was going to be the groundhog. And it caused a little bit of controversy.
Yes, I do remember
it's
that.
Coming back, all right.
Yeah.
I thought you meant like before we knew. I don't know.
No,
I meant like we didn't know Miss Ohio was coming or something. I don't know.
No, I'm saying there was. I could
because
not.
I remember what you're talking about.
I could not have told anybody beforehand that she was going to be the groundhog because I didn't know till that morning that she was going to be the groundhog.
There was that is true. We had a backup groundhog.
Yeah.
A backup groundhog, right?
Yes.
In case the one died, you know.
So I don't know. I have to go back and check my emails.
I'm going to have to check my records as well, the dates and everything there, because I'm thinking, how would I know to make an award presentation for her unless I knew in advance?
Right, and that's what I'm saying. I don't know.
Right,
she's got the awards in her hand in that picture?
Maybe I'm psychic. No.
No, see, I think that came after. I think it came after. I think the award came after. So she doesn't have it in her hand.
There's no picture of her with
the award. Ah, now the facts come out. Now it can be told.
It's just a picture of the plaque.
Yeah. I think that came after. Yeah.
We'll have to do some research.
Well, I mean, if Bob doesn't have the plaque and he gave the plaque to Miss Ohio, that would mean...
That we went out together some night afterwards?
Could have been. Could have mailed it to her.
It could have mailed, I suppose. You know.
She was passing out cards that day.
I might have your card, so I'll have to check.
Yeah. No, because that morning there was an issue with that. But it all worked out.
So who's the groundhog this year?
Can't say. I never tell.
Can't say because you don't know yet at this point.
Oh, no, I know.
You do know?
Oh, I know.
A month in advance, you know who the groundhog is.
A lot more than that.
Oh, all right.
More than that.
All right.
Like, I knew who the groundhog was going to be last year, a year in advance.
All right. You going to give us any clues? I mean,
no.
For the next 30 days, people are going to be calling asking for clues.
No.
Give us the first letter and how many letters are in the first name and blah, blah, blah.
You know, that's a man or a woman.
Is it a man or a woman?
Oh, come on. Be more creative than that.
Well, it cuts the... But I think that's a good one. It cuts.
No, it's not a good question. I'm not going to answer that question.
It cuts the guesses in half.
No, that's why I'm not going to answer that question.
That's a good question.
No, that's not a good question. It's too vague.
Look, if you give me like three questions to guess somebody, one of the first ones is going to be man or woman. Boom, half the population's cut out.
Right, that's why nobody with any sense would ever answer that question.
Okay.
Yeah, no. Yes, it is either a man or a woman.
So yeah, I'd understand that, yes.
All right.
So there you go. In any event, that'll come up February 2nd.
All right.
It's a Monday.
It is a Monday this year, it's which I'm happy about.
And we're going to have a big deal with the AP coming out. And
well, I don't know about that.
The UPI. The UPI
nobody said that. Nobody said that. You never know.
Pravda.
I didn't know the first year that the AP was going to cover it.
I don't think they did. Did they?
Second year
they did. Yeah. I got a copy of that article. That's a very nice article.
I don't know. I thought the article was a little bizarre myself.
Well, they mentioned the pizza and everything, the Mystic Pizza. And,
oh, did they?
Yes, they did. And
you know, something's got to be done with the pizza, though.
How so?
I don't know. There's something about that I'm not sure.
Well, go ahead and lay your complaint on.
No. I'm just saying people are confused. It comes up every year. Why are you doing this? Now, they get the mystery groundhog. They like that part. And they like the show of that. But they're always confused of how a pizza plays into it.
Well, first off, the groundhog is out there and seeing its shadow left, right, everywhere you go. You can't go by the shadow.
No. I wouldn't know. No.
And so the groundhog has to have some way of predicting the event, whether it's 6 more weeks of winter or spring or whatever.
But
we decided, you know, that having a mystic pizza, you know, would be the way for the groundhog to...
Don't we have a big old coin that PETA gave us?
We did get a coin. We did get a coin at one point.
All right.
I don't know if it was a big coin, but it was a coin.
I thought it was a big coin.
I thought it was just a quarter. I don't know.
No, it's a coin.
A coin.
Which I thought was a very interesting idea. There's your 50-50 chance.
I don't know. There is a 1 in a million chance if you flip a coin, it'll land on the edge.
I don't think out here it'd land on its edge. I think it'd No, but my point was, you know, because we say it's a groundhog pizza, but I think it's changed over the years. I don't even think we got that off last year.
What?
That it was a groundhog pizza.
We got a picture of it there. It was a groundhog pizza.
Right, but they know it's not groundhog. So
pork, hog, you know, groundhog.
It isn't right. Groundhog, see?
It is groundhog, but what is it? What kind of pizza is it?
A pork pizza. Cheese, pork, and sauce, and the regular pizza that is totally edible.
You know, I don't know what happened to the Spam used to be associated with the groundhog and Marion.
It was.
And that was the thing with that was, you know, what is Spam? It's groundhog. Okay.
Still do that?
No.
Spam sandwiches and everything there, but who wants a Spam sandwich?
You know, it's interesting how these old traditions have really taken a fall. You know, I don't understand. You would think, I think people thought they would live on forever. And as you said during the break, they're starting to get a little wobbly.
Passé. But I mean, Spam was big when you had no other meat to eat. But now if you got a choice of having ham or Spam, you're going to go with the ham. If you have ham or Italian sausage or Spam, you're not going to go with the Spam.
No.
Spam is your last choice of meat if you got several choices.
You know what I'm surprised about? All the places in Ohio that do a groundhog, nobody does a fake groundhog like we do. That year, the AP...
Oh, no. There are people dressed up like groundhogs.
No, but they don't use them as the... They always have a real groundhog there to do the whoop-de-doo.
Well, we had a real groundhog last year. It was a dead groundhog. It had been run over and... Because we got a picture.
Oh, don't say that. Don't.
We got a picture of Mary Ellen holding the
No, because one year there was a real dead groundhog, and that led to...
PETA.
It wasn't PETA. It was just a lot of trouble from the news in Columbus for a long time.
It wasn't our groundhog.
No. Well, we never used a dead groundhog.
That's right.
Yeah. So that's that.
But no hints, huh?
No, but not at this point.
Like, what if the middle... A letter of their first name.
I don't know. I don't know. You know, I think one of the interesting things about the groundhog is it's weird to have this conversation now, because I was having it last night with somebody, because, you know, after the first of the year, that's where we go.
Deja vu.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I was thinking, you know, it's an outside event that we do live.
Yeah.
And it starts at 8:15.
It's
and
colder than...
Well, the first year it wasn't.
Beep.
I don't remember. Now, last year was not bad. I remember 2 years ago being pretty bad. But the thing of it is that we have like this dead spot. And I always think of it every year. From 8:15 to 8:45, from when the show comes on till the groundhog arrives, we have like 30 minutes of real just filler. You know, it's just like, oh, it's cold outside. Everybody gets up there, talks about how cold it is. Oh, it's cold. Oh, it's cold. Okay, well, I got it. It's cold, yeah. We get you. And then I think last year Chad Clark did some songs.
He did.
Right. So there's got to be something better than that. That's not...
Well, if you're just hanging around for an hour waiting for the groundhog to show up...
Half hour.
Why don't you hang around inside?
Well, again, I think that gets rid of it. People want to know what's going on. So I think there's going to have to be some aspect of it that's a little different.
Why don't you just add some, like, competition while you wait?
Well, that's what's going to happen. We have not perfected the competition, but there was an idea that came up last night that was pretty good.
Like practicing a fruit kick toss or something?
No tosses.
No tosses.
But obviously that works. Mm-hmm. And that also gives you a crowd.
Yeah.
So that could be done.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we could have a groundhog parade.
I don't think that's going to work.
Well,
a parade?
A parade, you know, like a Rose Parade. I mean, the Groundhog Parade.
I don't know if the city's got the money to block up the streets.
Well, we'll just have volunteers. I mean, you'd have volunteers come in, make their float, and get out there and parade around. And then we could give it a plaque for the best float.
Well, I don't know. That seems like a lot of work.
But the AP might be expecting it now.
No, they just want to know who it is.
And there you go.
They just want to know who's under the head. That's all it is. That's all. And what the prediction is.
And what the prediction is.
You know, and our prediction has been right 100% of the time.
100% of the time.
That's interesting. Has anybody ever guessed early spring? I don't think they ever have.
I forget what last year was.
Yeah, I don't think six more weeks of winter last year.
You got 3 years in a row then.
Yeah, I don't think anybody has ever pulled early spring.
Well, it's starting to look like early springs don't exist. I think maybe if I pulled early spring, I might just say extended winter and then be right.
Now, are you kind of hinting that you might be the groundhog when you say you're going to pull an early spring?
Oh, I promise you I'm not the groundhog. I got stuff to do that day. I go with the groundhog to the peanut butter and jelly facilities.
We might have to wake you up.
No, I'll be here.
No, you were there.
I'll be here.
All right.
That's an important day.
All right.
That's an important day in life.
All right.
Yeah. No, I don't know, but the idea that we came up with last night off the cuff, I thought was pretty good.
What's this what?
Well, I'm not going to say it now.
Are you phasing me out? No more pizza?
No. It has nothing to do with the pizza part of it.
I'm already feeling a little.
I do think that a Spam pizza would be good.
Have you ever bought Spam?
I wouldn't eat it.
No, well, there you go.
I don't eat the pizza anyway.
No, I like Spam. I won't lie to you. Spam's all right.
Spam's all right.
You don't like pizza, but you like Spam.
Now, I don't like buy Spam. I haven't had Spam in a long time, but, like, you know, Spam's not bad.
So if they served it to you, you would eat it. But you're not going to go out of the way to buy it.
If somebody gave,
it's terrible.
No, if somebody offered me a Spam sandwich, I'd probably take it.
What we were trying to think of last night, what is a drink, non-alcoholic, and what is a food that actually have to do with weather?
Oh, you always got, like, hot chocolate.
Hot chocolate has nothing. See, that's what somebody... I said, what does hot chocolate have to do with the weather, except you drink it when it's cold? That's not a weather drink is like a hurricane, or a snowstorm, or a snowball.
Hot chocolate.
No, again...
Everything you listed off there sounds cold and wet to me. That means hot chocolate.
But it has...
Bob, am I speaking in a different language when I say this?
Apparently, the drinks he's naming... has a term of weather.
A term of weather. Is that it, you would
like in the name?
Yes. I'm not going.
Everything could have to do with the weather. I need a cold drink in the summer. Well, soda must have to do with the weather. That makes no sense.
I've never walked through a hot chocolate storm.
No. That's what somebody said to me. I thought that is the dumbest thing I ever heard.
No.
A cold iced tea, there's nothing like the weather. That means weather.
No, but like hot chocolate just goes with the whole like winter kind of thing.
No, it doesn't.
Well, hot chocolate might help keep you warm, and it might be a winter time drink, but it does not connotate itself.
No, to weather. Just like Spam, you had to draw the joke to get to groundhog. That's why it's complicated. That's why people don't get it. So I'm trying to think of something that's directly named weather.
Weather.
A drink or food. I'll tell you what would work for the food is a snowball.
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 Yeah.
Because those are popular. Most people know exactly what those are.
You have to kind of search for them anymore, but
Hostess sells them, don't they?
Oh, you can find a Hostess store.
Yeah. So a snowball pizza would work.
Snowball pizza, you say.
Be more of a dessert pizza.
It'd be kind of lumpy.
You know, that's also one of the problems with the pizza. I think the groundhog pizza is the least eaten because it's cold
I'm hungry by that time.
No, but a dessert pizza wouldn't matter if it was hot or cold.
I don't like coconut.
Well, we're not here to serve you, Bob. We're here to serve the listening audience.
If I'm making the darn pizza, I'm not putting coconut on.
Well, you can make a groundhog pizza if you want, but I think the snowball pizza would be more apropos.
Couldn't you put something in there that's not coconut?
I suppose
you could find a coconut alternative.
You've got to use a snowball.
Why don't I just hand
you? You could just put a snowball in the middle of the
pizza.
Why
don't I throw a snowball at whoever?
There might not be any snow out there.
Well, I didn't say it was going to be a snowball.
Then I thought about the blizzard, which is at Dairy Queen, yeah. But I don't think they're open here at that point of the year.
That's true.
And then I thought Sunkist, which is a soda.
That's right.
That could work.
Although, yeah, that could work.
So those were my ideas.
All right.
What do you have, Bob?
I think I'm going to have to look into my old cocktail.
No cocktails.
You're mentioning a lot of hurricanes and so forth there.
As an example.
As an example, but I have the old bartender's cocktail guide.
Does anybody know of a drink or a food that is named for weather?
Weather.
740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944.
I'm thinking Baked Alaska, but that's a state.
Because I guess that goes back to my... If we had a snowball pizza, nobody'd ask a question. They would get it.
They would. Would they eat it, though? Would the groundhog actually point to something on the pizza and say, oh, my God.
Well, no, but see, it's like even a Spam pizza, you'd have to explain it. It would have to be explained as to why.
Well, if I'm explaining, I might as well explain groundhog rather than Spam.
Right, which I think snowball is much easier.
Snowball.
Yeah. Or anything else that would be a weather-related food.
Mm. So you
isn't there a gum icebreaker?
Those are mints.
Mints.
But yeah.
We could get some zero candy bars. Put that on the pizza.
Now, candy bars, I think there are some that have weathery names there, aren't there?
The only one that comes to mind right now is zero for the weather. Because it's usually 0 degrees.
Now, degree is a deodorant.
Degree.
Nobody wants to eat that.
No.
So, I don't know.
Although,
there's a Frost Gatorade.
The Frosty. Frosty
Root Beer. Oh, the Frosty. Ah, that's an interesting one.
Either the Wendy's Frosty or the Frosty Root Beer.
See, isn't this interesting?
This is interesting.
It's like password.
I don't know any of this.
You're making you think. It's near noon.
We just need one drink and one food item.
Okay.
Because that will transform the pizza into something that's not hard to explain. And then it will also help the drink is for something else.
But I think explaining it is part of the mysticism of it. I mean, how does this groundhog know, winter or spring? I mean, it's got to come out of the mystic nature of the groundhog and its ability to pick the right...
I don't know. Could be. Did you know there was drama involving the original groundhog?
I knew there was a little bit of drama there as far as getting the costume and everything.
Oh, no, not this groundhog.
No.
I'm talking about the original groundhog.
The Punxsutawney groundhog?
Are we talking here?
The Buckeye Chuck.
The Marion, Ohio
groundhog. The Buckeye Chuck groundhog.
Yeah, yeah. There was some... there's a few.
It had a rocky start, I know that.
Well, there's several dramas involved with that. Some that I cannot speak of at this point.
Well, we all know about the dead groundhog.
The dead ground that was told on the air. Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's yeah. not a that was a mistake. I mean, Mike Davis at Channel 10 really took Marion and Charlie to task on that one.
All right, well,
when you got a dead
groundhog, I think it's a good top of the hour of it.
I'll tell you what, though, nobody the day Mike Davis was arrested for child pornography, nobody was happier. Who was on the air live when that day happened but Charlie? And he was no more happy to report about Mike Davis being. I pull that show out. Now, there's a classic show. If you find the day that Mike Davis was arrested for child pornography, you will find the day of Charlie's show. Listen to that broadcast, because I bring it in to him, because we find out like 10:30 in the morning, and I bring that news. And I totally forgot that he'd had this drama for like 25 years, that Mike Davis wrapped him on the knuckles for that dead groundhog, and he gave it right back to him that day.
Yeah,
revenge is best served cold.
You know, karma. You know,
karma will come get you every time.
Come around and bite you.
Stay off the computers.
Oh,
poor man.
Who, Mike Davis?
He's. I wonder if he's free that day. Maybe he could be the groundhog. Wouldn't that be great when we pulled our head off of him? Holy mackerel!
No, he might be doing.
What became of him? Is he still in Columbus?
He might be doing time with Connor.
No, no, he's out. He's out.
He's out.
Is he down in Columbus, Bob? Find Mike Davis. Is he in your neighborhood?
Around. He's not in the phone book.
Well, I'm sure he's not listed. I'm sure he's not listed. You know, that brings up an interesting. Can you rehabilitate somebody? Can a controversial person who served their time still be usable in situations?
Well, I mean, I guess it depends. I mean, I can. There's a football example, as a matter of fact. You guys remember Michael Vick and the whole dog fighting thing?
You know what? People
Michael
ended up.
Vick got out of prison after the whole dog fighting charges, and then the Eagles were like, you know, we need a quarterback, and signed Michael Vick. So I mean, I think that, you know, so long as, oh, by the way, Michael Vick's a big like advocate.
Yeah, but
against
that's more
dog
of a,
fighting now.
But that's more of a money thing. You know, and so I think that's
more of a money thing.
Yeah.
I think that has more to do, I don't know. I think people were rather upset when they found out that he was running dog fights.
Dog
fights are very frowned upon.
Well, nobody's saying that.
I don't think it's a money thing.
No, it's a money thing that they started winning games. So that's why they put it. If he was not going to win games for them, they certainly weren't going to invite him back.
Well, he was useful. That's the situation we were just talking
but
about.
But I'm saying putting somebody in a groundhog suit doesn't make anybody any money. That's just a decision you
make.
Oh,
you're talking about specifically the groundhog? No, I wouldn't do that. That's not worth the risk.
No,
Risk versus reward, not there.
No, but see, the reward is shock factor.
Yeah, but
the warm feeling in your heart, making all these children.
That you've turned that person around.
I don't know. I don't know about that. I'd stay away from
that. I don't know.
People who have been rehabilitated and come back to serve a useful career.
Yeah, it's a short list.
Arlo Guthrie. I mean, at the thinking back to the end of the story of Alice's Restaurant, have you rehabilitated yourself? You know, and he went on to serve a very successful singing career.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if you can rehabilitate yourself or not. I don't know. It's tough. Very, very difficult.
I suppose. We'll have to give some thought here.
Well, I don't know. It's just, it's an interesting question.
Well, I'm sure it's possible.
I don't know.
I just don't know that it's probable.
Some people will never forget.
I mean.
Well, yeah, that's why I said I don't think it's probable.
Well, I mean.
Everybody's always going to remember.
You know, we have rehabilitated convicted felons and sent them to the White House. I think it can be done.
No, see, yeah. That was
Isn't
all.
Isn't he rehabilitated?
Who was a convicted felon. Okay, well, I guess he didn't go to prison. Yeah.
Well, you don't have to go to prison to be rehabilitated, do you?
Well, I thought the rehab centers. I thought that's what they were.
Well, yeah, but
that's what. No. It's punishment. Don't let them lie to you. There's no rehabilitation. It's punishment.
You certainly couldn't rehab Bill Cosby, I guess.
Well, Bill Cosby did some rather questionable things.
Not in his opinion.
What? I don't know. I mean, I'm sure Bill Cosby knew what he was doing was not the right thing to be doing.
I don't think he's ever been convicted on that score.
He was.
But it was reversed. Yeah.
So, you know, after ruin your career.
Well, I'm sure he knew what he was doing was not supposed to be done.
I'll bet he still eats Jell-O.
Sure. I'm sure he does. He's lived a long life. That Jell-O must have worked. And, he's about 90 now.
We can put that on a pizza, can't we?
Jell-O?
Jell-O.
I don't know if that has any...
I think Jell-O would melt, would it not?
It's cold day.
Not out there in the weather.
Yeah, that's fair. It's cold.
No, I don't know. The game aspect, I think we've got that figured out. But the just tweak a few things.
Tweak a few things. All right.
Make it more weather geared.
Weather geared.
So it's easier to be. You can figure it out a little.
So I guess we have 30 days to work on this, or 29 days.
Well, it came to me because of the fruitcake toss, because that was tweaked this year, and that came out much better. We turned it into a live broadcast, which people liked better. It was as it happened. We brought the canteen truck in with the Salvation Army. People liked that. We went with the donuts, you know, made it a bigger food event. There was eggnog out there. I think that worked. Putting the Christmas tree on the 70-foot mark, people liked that. So the tweaks to that made it better. It made it more Christmas-like. Salvation Army is associated with Christmas. The Christmas tree, obviously, is associated with Christmas. It just Christmased it up. And I think people like the live broadcast better. But I think this live broadcast of Groundhog Day, we got like a hole in the center of it. And we've never really weathered it up.
All right, so we have to build a bigger bigger groundhog event out of this. Make it more...
Well, I think just make it make sense a little more. Why we're doing certain things.
Yes, because, I mean, a groundhog predicting the weather doesn't make sense.
No, that doesn't make sense. But, you know, if they're going to go with it, we'll go with it.
So maybe we can get like somebody like Marshall McPeak to dress as a groundhog.
You know, I had one of my biggest on-air faux pas with Marshall McPeak.
How so?
Well, when he was first starting, I was doing the Exchange Club at that time. This very show. How odd. I was doing the Exchange Club at that time. Primrose had just come to Marion, and they wanted us. Brenda Donegan was the activities director over there. And we used to go and tape it there once every 3 weeks. So we do 3 weeks of shows in one afternoon, and we tape it with a live audience. And that was fun. And then we just air it, taped. It wasn't so much a current event show. And I always had Marianne and Charlie with me. But the rest of the panel, it was whoever was available. And we had a lot of great people on in those days because they would come in front of the crowd and they'd meet the crowd. And like we had Fritz the Night Owl. We had Ted Williams. We had Buckeye Guy. We had a lot of, like, the mayor would come on with us. You know, it was always a good fourth. It was like a rotating door. And one day we had Marshall McPeak. And he sat down next to me. And do you remember, he was on Channel 4 at that time.
That's right.
Okay. Now, there was another guy on Channel 4 who looked very similar to him at that time. He was a news reporter.
Yeah, I knew.
You remember him?
I knew who you mean.
You don't remember the name, and neither do I.
I have it written down, but it'll come to me.
Okay. But he was married to a lady at the station who also worked at the station. And that was a story at the time that they were a married couple. You remember this?
It's coming back to me.
Yeah. Okay. So I sat down, and you're always trying to make small talk with these people, but not talk about the subject. And so I said, Marshall, how's your wife? Now, this would be a big enough faux pas because I've confused him now with the other guy, but Marshall McPeak is also of another persuasion, which I was not aware of at that time. And so it even became a bigger faux pas because he looked at me like I was nuts.
I have a Marshall McPeak story as well. I mean, back when he was at
Channel 4. How's your wife?
Back when he was at Channel 4, they had a studio downtown.
Yeah, I remember that.
That overlooked the State House. And one Christmas, you know, I had to get the kids out of the house so the wife could do the wrapping. And so I said, we'll go downtown. And we went to Lazarus Windows, and we went to the train at the Huntington at the time and everything. So, you know, I was running out of things to do. So, Channel 4 is open. We'll go into Channel 4 and say howdy, see if they can give away free coloring books or something like that. So we walked in there, and they thought we were supposed to be on here or something like that. And so they ushered us in, and Marshall McPeak is giving his weather report, and they're like, here are some people from the public just coming in. And so we all did some shaking and everything, and you know, said howdy.
Just in the studio?
And took some pictures in the studio. And your news guy, whose name is Casey, was there as well. I got a picture with him as well. But the name is escaping me. I could bring these pictures in later.
My news guy.
Yeah, the guy you're thinking of that looks like Marshall there.
Yeah, Channel 4. Okay, there you go.
But like I said, the name totally escaped me at the moment. But we had our Marshall Big Peak moment there at Channel 4.
You know, that was a bet.
Took him by surprise. We didn't do any faux pas like, you know.
How's your wife?
How's your wife or anything like that. But we broke in on the weather report.
You know what's funny about that? That was one of those big broadcasting faux pas in that when they tried to have that Channel 4 morning studio with the glass windows because they thought, we'll be the Today Show and people will come and they'll stand outside and la-di-da-la. Nobody is going to do that. And nobody did that. And that was it.
One family did.
One family. One family. And then they just, it was costing so much money to have
downtown.
this studio downtown. Thought, forget it.
But,
we aren't the Today Show.
But yeah, the studio's still there, although I think it's occupied right now by Mr. Peanut or something. I don't know.
Mr. Peanut?
Mr. Peanut.
Well, there you go.
Who is Mr. Peanut?
Who is Mr. Peanut?
Broad and High, wasn't it?
He's been various corners of Broad and High for the last 100 years. He's probably one of the original logos out there. Mr. Peanut is the purveyor of peanuts for the last 100 years.
Are you talking about the peanut with the monocle?
Yeah, that's Mr. Peanut. Yeah.
That's Mr. Peanut.
I see.
Okay.
Apparently he's never been downtown Columbus there. He's been there for 100 years.
Well, I haven't been around 100 years, and I certainly don't.
That doesn't mean
Columbus.
You have to be around 100 years. At some point in time, you must have seen him.
Is this like the butter cow?
No, the butter cow goes away every year.
Where does the butter cow go? The refrigerator?
I think they feed it the hogs.
Do they?
Yeah.
So it's a different butter cow every year.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of weak.
Well, you can't have it.
You know what else would I say? Tradition, this is the 250th anniversary of the country. July 4th this year is going to be a much bigger deal.
Yeah, and we haven't come very far because we're still fighting off kings.
Oh, Bob. You know, you're going to get the... No, Republicans are switching off.
Oh, my goodness.
We don't need that.
I thought as long as we stated facts, it was all right.
I don't know. I think that's going to be very odd this year, though, because July 4th is usually so tied into the fair, but now you're going to have competing events that week because every county's got these 250th anniversary events, and I don't know how that's going to work.
Yeah. I think that'll bode well. The Marion County Fair is not going to be packed this year. I'm sure there's somebody else who's got.
No, I don't even. Who knows what the 250th idea is for Marion?
Oh, I have not a clue. I'm just.
Well, I remember, you know, the bicentennial. They would celebrate that with a bicentennial minutes on TV and everything, and it was leading up to it, and you had the 1776 Broadway play and the movie and everything. And so,
well, apparently, we're not going to get there because we only have 6 months left.
No, I mean, what's going on this time around? I don't know. But I know it was a big deal for the 200 years.
Yeah, I don't think 250
is... No, because he went around 50 years ago.
Well, yep. But I don't think 250... Does 50
Mr.
really...
Mr. Peanut, though, was celebrating it.
Well, that's good for Mr. Peanut.
But, you know, isn't it interesting how little it's been talked about?
Very little.
And we're 6 months away.
The 250th?
Yeah.
Well,
I think... It's going to be like one of those eclipse things. Nobody cares.
Yeah.
Well, I think that, you know, people tend to just be relatively unhappy at the given moment.
And by the way, Pastor Craig... No health care plan. Did he not say last Friday on this show he'd call in this Friday? And he said the Republicans would have a health care plan in place before it expired on January the 1st, and it is now January the 2nd.
He didn't fact.
And now he owes me a meal, I think.
All right. Spam sandwich.
Pastor Craig, not a spam sandwich.
Pastor Craig.
What happened there?
Scott,
what happened there with that?
Sandwich.
Well, what do you mean?
Why did they not have a plan?
Well, they never had a plan.
Right, but why say that? Why close down the government for a month? What was the point?
I don't know. This is good as mine.
The closing down the government had nothing to do with health care. It had everything to do with Epstein.
Okay, that's fine. But again, what's the point? So that was the point?
That was the point.
They thought the government would never open back up?
That's what they're hoping.
Well, I don't know. The logic never made sense.
The government doesn't know what open up. There's only one person in charge then.
Why? That it was the silliest risk I ever saw in my life. And now that they don't have a health care plan, it's going to be murder on them this year at the polls.
Probably.
I don't understand that. That is very weird to me. Because what will happen is this week when people start to go get their prescriptions and realize it's going to cost an arm and a leg, then they'll make a deal, which will be the same deal they should have made back in November, which will just be to extend the subsidies.
And then they'll get all the credit for making the deal. we just came in and saved the day and brought down these things, you know.
I don't think that'll work.
And that's,
yeah,
and
no.
That's
no.
The point. I mean, that's the John Huston selling point.
I think people are probably...
No, he's saying Trump's got a plan?
Trump's got a plan.
Right.
And you need to elect the Republicans to keep everything in shape here.
But they are.
So that's the whole
Huston
selling point.
Aren't they in office? Isn't he in office?
Yes, right. But he wants to stay in office.
Right, but isn't he there now?
Yes, he is. But
fix it.
Watch his commercials and say, don't vote for anybody else, because otherwise you're going to lose all the work that we've done for you.
Okay, which is?
Yeah, that's my question.
Well, that's the point. That's what I'm saying. This is going to hurt him immensely.
No, not if we come up with a plan in the next couple of weeks. It'll say, I saved it. I came to the rescue, and
but I don't
saved
think that,
it.
But that's my point. I don't think that's going to happen.
I mean, they might try, but I
do you realize how complicated health care is?
They're going extend the same credits that they had before, and I think that it's probably not going to bode well for them. I can't see how it's going to bode well for them.
Right.
Should have had a plan. If you're gonna say you had a plan, should have had a plan.
Well, they've been saying they had a plan for 8 years, and that's why people assume they did not have a plan.
Well, they never did anything with the plan that they
allegedly. They tried. John McCain saved health care. That was one of those, we have a plan, something better, but we got to get this out of the way first. And they tried it again. Yeah, same thing.
And I believe there was a Supreme Court case on part of it as well. I mean, yeah, they've had their opportunities for a plan.
I don't get it. It's a terrible, terrible mistake.
Well, and that was the thing when they passed the Affordable Health Care Act, is that it was so deeply embedded with all these other things, with taxes, with health care. I mean, it had tentacles into so many areas of government that it made it very difficult to get rid of, which is, you know, why we still have.
But, I mean, the reason that it came out the way it did is because... That was what Mitt Romney came up with, a Republican in Massachusetts, that did work for Massachusetts at that time, and it does work for the United States. Well, what's all these people who criticize it, what's going to be the alternative health care plan? What's it going to be? Because you're still going to let people have their private insurers if they want them. You can't have their rates go skyrocketing because of the ACA. You can't get rid of Medicaid for people in nursing homes and people who have no money coming in. You don't want to do away with Medicare for senior citizens. So how do you leave all those programs in place and come up with something that's not going to hurt any of them other than what we've come up with here?
You keep saying you can't. You can't do this. You can't.
You can tweak it.
But
I think they got rid of the mandate, which was good.
You know, I think that they are doing away with all of that bit by bit. Medicare costs,
I don't think they're going to. They have right now.
Medicare costs are soaring.
Yeah, but again, if your job is the most important thing to you, why do that?
Whose job?
The people who are in office. That's what why they say they always vote the way they do, because the most important thing for them is keeping their job. Well, why would you support something unpopular?
It's a very tough question, but I think they rely on certain elements of their constituency to back them.
Well,
you know, and they do.
Well, good luck. See how that works.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess we'll be having this discussion next November when the results are coming in.
Well, I think even the most substantial Republicans are saying the House is gone. And that alone will make Trump a lame duck. They don't even have to win the Senate. Because nothing will ever get through the Congress.
Yeah. Well, nothing's getting through the Congress right now anyway.
Which is also strange.
Whatever ended up happening with the redistricting thing, by the way. I know California proposed theirs, and they put it up for a vote. And then
that passed.
And there were other states that...
Indiana wouldn't do it.
But Texas would. California did. Yeah. I mean,
Texas is the one that started it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but they were initially ruled illegal, but the Supreme Court upheld them, so Texas is going through.
Well, if you got to uphold Texas,
you've got to uphold
California.
Yeah, but the Supreme Court did rule against the occupation by the National Guard.
That's good. Yeah,
and wasn't Florida exploring the idea as well? I'm not sure about that.
But my point is, if the difference will be, if the Democrats win the House, there will be pushback on all these things. Yeah. There isn't going to be Executive Order City anymore. That's what will change. the Congress might not be doing anything now, but they're not going to be able to, these executive orders aren't going to be able to fly constantly.
Sure. I mean, there again, I mean, we might be knee-deep in a war with Venezuela, but by that time, I mean, that's slowly encroaching, and I think the more we need to change the focus from some of the domestic issues, the more we're going to get deeper into that.
You know what's interesting? There was I was watching a show, I can't remember who, but it was on Lyndon Johnson the other night, because everybody's waiting for Bob Caro's final book on Lyndon Johnson, the fifth installment, which has been taking him 30 years to write the Lyndon Johnson story. But he was bringing up the point that they're talking about how the Democrats are dead, all that. They said, well, go back to when Johnson did not run for re-election, and Nixon won 49 states. They said the Democrats were dead then, and then Jimmy Carter came. And then when Jimmy Carter lost during the Iran, they said the Democrats are dead. Reagan won 49 states. Democrats are dead. Then you got Bill Clinton, who became one of the most popular presidents in modern history. Then you got Barack Obama. So I think everything's an ebb and a flow, because they've said the Republican Party was dead when Obama came in. They said that the Republican Party was dead when Clinton was in.
Well, I mean, I think it's the old analogy of American politics being a pendulum. I mean, that's kind of how it works.
I don't know if it's a pendulum, but it certainly is a... it's never going to be a three-party system, let's put it that way.
No, it's designed not to be.
Yeah, because if it was a pendulum when Reagan left, it would have went back, but it didn't. It stayed with George Bush. And I'm still not sure exactly what political party Trump is. So I don't know what pendulum, where it swung there.
He's in the MAGA party.
Yeah, and during the Kennedy, I mean, look, Eisenhower could not have been more popular. Who'd you get after Eisenhower? John Kennedy, somebody from the opposite party.
Well, first off, Eisenhower couldn't run again, and so they...
No, but I say you think his vice president, who did get elected 8 years later, would have been electable.
But that was a very narrow campaign as well.
And dead people voted in Chicago.
All over.
And Lyndon Johnson was a part of that as well.
Yeah. I mean, Lyndon Johnson was vice president solely because they needed him to bring in Texas, which he did.
Well, he also was a very powerful senator. Yes, he could twist arms.
Yes, he was. He was probably one of the most powerful people in America during the 60s.
You know what's interesting? I still think, and maybe it's why I got into that Lyndon Johnson show the other night. I don't know. He doesn't rank very well on the greatest list of presidents of all time. But what Lyndon Johnson, Vietnam obviously is the reason, and also following John Kennedy was a trick after the assassination. It would have been easier to follow him had he not been assassinated. But the things that Lyndon Johnson did are only second to Roosevelt.
Correct.
Only second to Roosevelt.
I mean, when Johnson twisted all the various Southern Democrats, twisted their arms in voting for the, you know, for the Voters' Rights Act.
And Voters' Rights Act. And Medicare.
And all of that.
Medicaid.
I mean,
Head Start.
I mean, he said at the time, you know, we've just given away the South, you know, for a generation. You know,
everybody remembers that quote, but what people forget, all Kennedy's legislation was stalled when he died.
Johnson
his tax plan was stalled. His civil rights plan was stalled. It all was stalled.
Johnson knew how
and
to work
Johnson, within days, had them going through the Senate.
Well, Johnson had a bit of an inferiority complex, and he said, the only way I'm going to be a big-name president is to outdo Kennedy. And so he made it his point to pass so much goodwill legislation.
See, I don't know if that's true. When I'm watching that documentary the other night, and it wasn't, I mean, they pointed out Lyndon Johnson's flaws in life.
Oh, yeah, he had a lot.
But I, as far as civil rights go, I don't think so. I think Lyndon Johnson was pragmatic. And he knew to get the power he needed that he could not be from Texas and be for civil rights. But when he had the power as president, the guy said, power reveals what your real belief is. And I don't think Lyndon Johnson passed the civil rights bill because he turned on a lot of his people that did him. And it wasn't just losing the South. I mean, there were people who were crying, senators in the front row when people always have that, the quote about Lyndon Johnson, you know, the one you just gave about, you know, it cost him the South. But people forget, he went down and gave his first State of the Union 2 months after Kennedy is assassinated, and he goes out there and he says, "We shall overcome." And they said, Martin Luther King was at a party that night, and he was skeptical of Johnson because he's a Texas Democrat. He's always voted against civil rights when he was in the Senate. John Kennedy couldn't get this done. Eisenhower couldn't get this done. I don't know if I trust him. And during the State of the Union, Lyndon Johnson looked at that front row of Southern Democrats and said, "We shall overcome. Not only they shall overcome, we shall overcome our prejudices, and we will get this passed." And they said that's the only time they saw Martin Luther King cry in a room. You know, so I don't know that he was, I think it hurt him more than it helped him. So I think that's something he wanted. He grew up poor. His father had lost everything. You know, I'm not so sure. I think that was a Lyndon Johnson thing.
Yeah, I mean, he is certainly a mixed bag president. I mean, but, you know, I think he got the Kennedy plans passed when Kennedy couldn't do it. I really believe he had a complex with Kennedy. He wanted to outdo John Kennedy, you know, and he wanted to brush Bobby Kennedy aside there, you know, and
he did.
And then he did. And it wasn't until Bobby Kennedy's, you know, success in the 68 campaign that, you know, as well as the other guy,
McGovern.
I think McGovern was 72. But anyway, it wasn't until Kennedy's success.
Who was the guy then?
That Johnson said, you know.
I thought Humphrey was 72.
Well, Humphrey came in after Kennedy.
Oh, that right, 68.
Yeah, Humphrey ran against Nixon in 72.
So McGovern was 72.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who was the guy? Well, Wallace was running in 68 as well.
Muskie.
No. Was it?
I think it was Muskie.
That didn't sound familiar.
Muskie is the one who was out there crying in New Hampshire, and that lost him his, you know.
All I know is that I think Lyndon Johnson probably had some racism in him.
Yeah.
But I think he did that because he felt it was the right thing to do.
Yes, I think you're right. You know, and he did the things that could not be done otherwise.
Well, he did. This I guess his books, if you read them, Bob Caro's, which I have not read them.
I've read a couple of them.
But he has said he, like him or not, he's the most effective legislature there has ever been.
Right.
Ever.
Right.
Ever.
I mean, he controlled, you know, the Congress, even after being, you know, vice president and being president. He knew how to punch the buttons, and he punched them.
Yeah. Well, but he knew what people wanted. You know, they told a story, it was a fascinating documentary, really, about how, I forget who the senator was, but he was a Republican senator, and he's down there just tearing Lyndon Johnson up on television, saying the worst things possible, and Lyndon Johnson summons him to the White House, says, "I want to see you," and I guess he brings him in, and the guy thinks that he's going to, you know, Johnson's going to get him, he's really going to tear him apart in the office for saying these awful things. And he brought the, I think it was George Wallace, might have been George Wallace. And he brought him in and he said, "You know, I was watching you give that speech down there, and the things you said about me you wouldn't say about a scalded dog." Yeah. But he said, "Let's get past that because, you know, I know you have some friends who want appointments to the FCC and to the..."
Everywhere else.
Yeah, you give me those names and do I have your vote? And that's what he did.
Yeah, Johnson knew how to work people.
He didn't care if you said nasty things about him. That wasn't his goal.
Yeah.
He knew if you had something that you wanted, that you had to pay. He knew where the bodies were buried in that he knew what your campaign promises were that you had to pay off on. So he knew, I can give those to you, but you got to do something for me.
Yeah. I mean... And he would bring these people into his house there and in his company, and he would work them. And I think one of his favorite quotes was, "It's better to have somebody in the tent pissing out than outside the tent pissing in."
There you go. Well, and his legislature, like I said, second to Roosevelt.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, and had Vietnam not happened,
He would have been another 4 years.
Oh, absolutely. I'm still not sure. I think if he would have run, I still think he would have been another 4 years. It was so weak at that time. I don't know.
I don't. I yeah. It's one of those, you know, you know, hindsight, you know, what would have happened. But I think when Bobby Kennedy won the first couple of primaries, you know, Johnson kind of saw the writing on the wall. And he did not want to be sandwiched in between two Kennedys. And I think...
I don't know. It's different.
It's all hindsight.
So
all hindsight guessing.
We'll be back tonight, 8 to 10.
Right.
Matt, what's on your show tonight, 10 to 11?
Tonight I'm going to be talking about... I'll probably talk about college football, seeing as Ohio State lost the game. Talk a bit about
but
that.
But you defended them earlier.
Yeah, you'll have that, I guess.
Yeah.
But I also going to talk about the NFL. So
NFL.
Football.
And we'll be on 8 to 10, and I think we'll take phone calls tonight and have conversation and see what goes on there. Bob, it's good to have you back in the studio today. Thanks for the redecorating here.
Anything.
For Bob to work.
Yeah, well, I like it. I like the... You know, in this picture, we didn't talk... You got a picture. There's a picture of me, and now it looks like I have a real complex going on. Egotism complex. I got a picture of myself behind me now.
But it's behind you, so you can't see it.
I know, but boy, people sitting here being interviewed, they're going to think, my goodness, what an egomaniac that guy is. Just a picture of himself on the wall.
Out in the hallway there, but I figured that might be too much.
You know, that picture is from the WWE thing in the ring. I'm speaking.
You are.
In that picture. My mouth is in a...
You got a little microphone in front of you there?
I do. You know...
There you go.
It's a good picture.
It is a good picture.
It's a good picture. Use it for the obit. Oh, okay.
But not right away.
Not right away. But how many people will come to the funeral? That's what we need to know.
Depends on whether it's expected or not.
Right, and how long you live. It's one of those things. You got to have those unexpected deaths. All right, we'll be back tonight. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Wrote the first tell-all book called The President's Daughter.
Yes, it is a very detailed book, should we say?